हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 68. Summary of Adhikarana 8. Vishaya. In the Chandogya Upanishad 4.1.1-5 is the story of a man named Janashruti Pautrayana. In that story, after hearing the words of some swans, Janashruti approached Rainaka Muni and offered him many cows, necklaces, and chariots. Rainaka, however, said, "O Shudra, keep your cows, necklaces, and chariots." After being addressed as a Shudra in this way, Janashruti came again, this time offering cows, necklace, and chariot, and his daughter in marriage. Rainaka this time replied, "O Shudra, take this away. With this face alone, you will make me speak." Then the Upanishad describes how Rainaka taught him the science of Samvarga Vidya, Samshaya. Is a Shudra qualified to study the Vedic knowledge or not? Purva Paksha. A Shudra is qualified to study the Vedas for the following reasons. One, because it is said that all human beings are qualified. Two, because Shudra has the ability to study. Three, because the Shruti sometimes uses the word Shudra, thus hinting that Shudras are qualified to read the Vedas. Four, because in the Puranas and other Vedic literatures, Vidura and other Shudras are described as knowers of the Vedas. Siddhanta, the conclusion follows. Shug asya tad anadhara shravanat tadadra vanat suchyate hi. The Shudra is not qualified to study the Vedas because in the story, Janashruti is called a Shudra only because he was grief-stricken, Su, by the swan's disrespectful words, and then approached Dra, Rainaka. Right, so in other words, the mentality, if it's things are being done because of lamentation, that's not a real reason for, that won't bring you to the point of goodness, right? Because the lamentation because of ignorance, then it won't give the proper understanding. But, Shruti 1.3.34 Shugasya tad anadara sharvanat tada dravanat suchyate hi. Shug, sorrow, asya of him. Tad, that, anadhara, disrespect, shravanat, because of hearing. Tada, then, adravanat, because of approaching. Suchyate is indicated, he, because. The Shudra is not qualified to study the Vedas because in the story, Janashruti is called a Shudra only because he was grief-stricken, Su, by the swan's disrespectful words, and then approached Dra, Rainaka, Shudra Prakashika. Since the Upanishads state that the Lord is known through the Upanishads, one may ask who is qualified to study them. This Vishayavakya from Chandogya Upanishad appears to provide Vedic precedent that Shudras were taught the Vedas, and hence are qualified for worship of Brahman. In this passage, the Shudra is imparted the Samvarga Vidya, a special meditation technique. Vyasa, however, points out that this is a misunderstanding of the word Shudra. In this context, the Upanishad is not referring to a member of the fourth Varna, but is using the word literally mean unhappy. Due to the context, the etymological meaning of the word Shudra is correct here, not the connotative one. Janashruti is a member of one of the higher Varnas, therefore the Purva Paksha remains unsupported. So Here he's pointing out that he's in this mentality, and so because he's in a from a higher nature, then the who's the sage Rainika. Rainika is able to instruct him, remove his sorrow, right, and then establish him in the proper position. Does this make sense? So then this brings then, because then it still shows that Shudras still aren't taught, because even though the Shudras instructed, the tendency is they won't learn. Because for them, the taste of sorrow is actually important. That's why the name Shudra. It means they actually like the taste of being disturbed. Right? So here is someone who's of a higher nature, who gets disturbed, then from that goes to the guru, and then by that instruction, that sorrow is removed, and he comes to the natural position. Does that make sense? So we can see, therefore, in the Kali Yuga, since everyone basically is born Shudra, then the problem comes is, how does anybody study the Veda? That's only because of chanting the holy name. So by chanting, that brings about the higher quality. That brings about removing ignorance, right? Devotional service removes ignorance. So Shudra means the ignorance is the prominent. As you remove the ignorance, then that means passion and goodness will be prominent. And with time, if you give up material desire, the passion goes away. So that means then anybody gets situated in that platform, right? That doesn't change, though, the conditioned nature in that what is the occupation you can perform. That won't change. Right? So, therefore, that still remains in place. So you may have some great, Kolabecha Sridhar, right? So he's a Shudra, but he's an associate of the Lord that the Lord every day will go by and spend time with and joke with and like this. So the point is because of his transcendental situation, his realization as a soul is on the transcendental platform. So on the ashram side, then that's dealt with there. But on the varna side, then he'll do his particular duties. Does that make sense? So that ability to be able to appreciate that, then that's the good part. Right? So, because it's seen, why do some people approach for higher understanding, right? Approach the Lord because of distress. Right? This anxiety that comes from either lack of facilities and emotional disturbance. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Following this line of thought, is it that we're actually trying to change the position as such, but we're just changing the mentality of the position so it's purified?
Yes, means because you're looking at occupation. Where does occupation apply within the Grihastha? That's where you're discussing occupation. Brahmachari Vanaprastha Sannyasa, you're not discussing occupation. Right? So that's not a consideration. It may give a slight flavor. Does that make sense? So, but that's not actually the major point. So that means then anyone can move through these stages. Does that make sense? So because they're taking part. In other words, there's the sadhana. As this point was given the other day, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is if one can't understand or relate to the Varnashram system, don't worry about it. Just focus on sadhana, you know, which means the direct activities of devotional service. Because then with purification, then one will be able to appreciate. Because Varnashram, even though it's a mundane topic, it requires a mode of goodness to be able to appreciate. So devotees are cultivating pure goodness, so naturally goodness is there. They can understand it. So it's only by devotional service that someone who's not qualified can understand Varnashram. Does that make sense? Then one can start to apply it. So that means when you're performing these activities, that there's as you advance in that, then who is doing kirtan, who is doing these things, that's not a limitation. Right? In deity worship, the only limitation is one has second initiation. That is, you're looking at not at the varna development, but at the ashram development. So they're steady in their Krishna consciousness. They're fixed there. They're interested in Krishna consciousness. That's why then they'll get the second initiation. From that, then they can do deity worship. Does that make sense? You know? Now, if they're they're not on that, how you say, they don't see that need to be involved in, or they're not involved in, or they've already been involved in, and it's time there's not a necessity to maintain it on such a dynamic level, the Grihastha Ashram. Then you might see someone, even their Ashudra, involved in more puja. But from what platform? From the devotional platform. So it's not going to be about the technicality of the worship, it's just going to be about the devotion to the Lord. Does that make sense? So they might be there, waking the deities, doing artiks, dressing, offering prashad, you know, these kind of things, taking part, helping set up, and all these things. But you might find that they're not necessarily interested or inclined towards technical worship like the Shaligram worship or other things like that. Does that make sense? Because that will be generally a varna nature. Right? Does that make sense? That's why then the general principle of deity worship, for especially in the house or like that, is simple. Does that make sense? That's the idea. Yes?
Srila Prabhupada, he gave a simple instruction, chant and be happy.
Yes.
But we see the conditioning for those who tend to be unhappy. They chant, but still they're not happy.
But think how unhappy they would be if they weren't chanting. So they're chant and chant and are unhappy. But if they didn't chant, then they'd be, you know, really unhappy. You know, so, but go ahead. So.
The point is that until we come to the platform of ruchi, when the taste is very prominent, the conditioning still covers the jiva.
Yeah.
And then it's a struggle.
It's a struggle, but you would say at nishta, that struggle would start to be under control. Because the point, what's making the struggle? The anartas. So at nishta, then so much anartas is gone. So that'll come to a steadiness. Maybe one's not, you know, in ecstasy while chanting, but one is not also unhappy. So that's the thing. Nishta is like a neutral state.
Yeah.
Like that. But until they get to that, in anarta nivriti, then it can be, in anishta bhakti, then yes, then it's going to be much more severe, the situations of unhappiness. Right? So ignorance is automatically unhappy. Even if nothing's going on, you're unhappy. Passion, that, you know, if you're not getting what you want, then there's an unhappiness. But at the same time, as what's not perceived is that even that endeavor and that inspiration is actually not actually nice. But we're used to thinking that that's it. Because it's a superior not nice, we take it as better. You know, like the hog and the stool. You know, you have better quality stool and less quality stool. So all material endeavor and enjoyment and taste and all that is all actually hellish. But it's just that there's hellish, more hellish, and most hellish, like that. So that's the. So when they come to nishta, that's why we're saying is at that point, because in one sense one's given up that lamenting position as a constant. It doesn't mean that now and again one's not, you know, going to be affected more strongly than others, but once come to that, that's why being steady, they can get second initiation, now they can worship the deity. But it's coming from the ashram side, it's coming from sadhana. Not so much ashram dharma, but just meaning the position of sadhana, which is, we would count it within, it's practiced within ashram dharma. In other words, it engages ashram dharma in the transcendental position. Is that... You know, so in the personal life, there's more direct connection to the devotional service. You know, there's so many aspects that are indirect, but there's more connection to direct or directly supportive like that. Well, in varna duty, then there's much less unless it's brahminical. Right? Brahminical varna duties are also. One cannot do it, like the smarta may be doing all the rituals, but not be interested in actually in pleasing God. So it can be used in not in the positive sense, but its general nature is positive, like that, in some sense, like that. And then you have the idea of prophet doing things based on dharma. So that's going to make the kshatriya and vaishya. So it still has that positive aspect. So the shudra, the nature is that lamenting, but the positive is engaging in service. Now what service are they engaged in? The service of the Brahma, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Because what that going on there is progressive. Then they're involved in the progressive path. But only by assisting. Because without assisting, then, you know, they'd be sitting around lamenting about something. You know? You know, I say, hence pubs. the mundir of lamentation. Yes.
Would you say that the majority of the issue is the incorrect, specifically because we're talking about the grihastha is only having to really deal with varna, then the majority of the issue is the lack of a balanced approach in both the varna and the ashram.
Yes, means either they'll do too far one side, too far the other. You know, someone who, oh, they're so renounced and they don't, you know, taking care of the family is maya. Or, you know, I'm being practical, just taking care of the family and they're not actually fitting in their sadhana. So that's where the balance is. Because for the other three, it's not really a difficulty, the balance, because it's basically all, you know, how you say, sadhana. The brahmacharya is sadhana, but then balancing sadhana with his, you know, menial service. Because that's actually technically how he's taken care of by his service to the guru. But it's not he's doing that because it takes care of him. He's doing that for education, for training. But it takes care of him. Same with the vanaprastha, the sannyas. So in there is that the direct activities of devotional service are the prominent. So if someone can live that lifestyle, even if, let's say, you know, by chanting, if they have a shudra background or nature, it doesn't matter. The difficulty is that they can't follow it. The person who can't get up in the morning, can't follow the sadhana, can't get their rounds done, can't not talk prajalpa, you know, can't not poke their nose in everything, so they won't be comfortable in that environment of sadhana. So for them, the temple life won't work. But if they're serious about Krishna consciousness, it's the soul that's becoming Krishna consciousness, not the shudra. It's the soul that thinks of the shudra. So when they start identifying as servant of Krishna, then they may be able to focus and be very, you know, good at their sadhana. So then they're a good brahmachari. So then, at that point, they can be trained. Right? So then they can study the Veda, they can do all these things. Then when they become a grihastha, then if they're able to maintain that, then it will go. But there's a good chance, as a grihastha, they'll do those, you know, arts and skills that are, you know, according to their nature, you know, serving one of the three higher orders. You know? Does that make sense? Like that. So then that's how it'll work. And then when they retire, then they'll go back. And then in rare cases, you might see someone, then they'll remain a brahmachari. They won't get married. But then these are, you know, it's more rare conditions, you know, like, what's his name? I don't think he got married. Gotama's disciple. Satyakama. Like that. I'm not sure, but I don't think he got married. So here's someone from, you know, you could say a shudra background, but because of his being fixed in the order of guru and his determination to study the scriptures, then he comes to that platform and becomes a realized soul. So that's the whole thing, is that there's the nature of things. So it's only if you are actually acting on the transcendental platform, then that nature is not the prominent element, because you're going to be functioning in brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas. Right? But if one's taking up the grihastha, then you're going to be working with what you have. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, if I am fasting, then do I need a knife or a grater or a frying pan? No. Right? So that's the transcendental. because you're not using it. But now, if I'm going to cook, I need it. And so they are what they are. So I can't say, I'm chanting, I'm transcendental. Yes, the soul's transcendental, but you're means the soul's not the body. So when we say, I am not the body, who's I? The soul. But, like it or not, the body is the body. That's why it's called a body. Otherwise, we call it something else. So the gross and subtle bodies are what they are. And so therefore, you know, just like going to the kitchen, you through intelligence can tell the difference between a spoon and a frying pan, right? If you can't, it means they both are, you know, kind of flat on the bottom, they both hold stuff. So therefore, you know, there is no real difference. You know, go ahead, cook lunch in a spoon, right? So that's going to be a problem. Is that so? The point is, yeah, we're not the body, so I can do anything I want with the body. He says, no, you can't, because the body is the body. You know, go ahead, try to use your frying pan to grate the potatoes. You know how will that work? You might be able to smash the potato a bit, but not even that good, because the frying pan's not that heavy. Because nowadays people generally use these light aluminum Teflon-y things. Now, if you had a cast iron skillet, okay, maybe you would be able to flatten the potato. But other than that, you wouldn't be able to, right? And there's a good chance you're going to break the handle off. Now it's really a problem, because most people don't use the Indian cooking pliers to pick up things like that. So then they really have a problem. You know what I'm saying? So then that's the whole thing, is that we can say whatever we want, but the reality is God created it, so it is what it is. So the shudra-ness of something is Krishna, because it's his lotus feet. Right? That's the whole thing. So its nature is set by Krishna, and it is Krishna. Oh, I'm not the shudra. So, yeah, the soul's not, but the gross and subtle body are. And that's the nature given by Krishna, because it's coming from Krishna. It's one of his energies. So we simply look at it from the social status without the religious context. Because if I'm looking at the religious context, then it's come from the body of the Lord. So therefore, it's the laws of the Lord. So why wouldn't it be functioning? Only when I reject the Lord's laws, then I can say, we don't have to follow these systems. We're transcendental. And the fun part is, instead of taking the consciousness up, we're taking it down. We're saying, I'm not this body, which is vijnanamoy, and what am I going to do? Pranamoy. So how is that actually, you know, philosophy or intelligent or anything? So this is what the meaning of chala dharma. I'm using the meaning of I'm not this body, which is correct philosophy, but I'm changing, I'm chala, I'm shifting the meaning. That means that now I'm independent, I can do what I want. Rather than I'm not the body, I'm therefore the soul, I'm servant of Krishna, therefore I do things the way Krishna likes to please Krishna. That would be the natural direction. That's going up. I'm not the body, vijnanamoy, up to I'm servant of Krishna, serve Krishna, anandamoy. But I take that I'm not this body and then take it down to pranamoy. And what's the purpose? My own social status. My own sense of control and enjoy, which is the reason that we're here in the material world. So this is not philosophy. This is not proper use of the philosophy. You know, just like Duryodhana quoting Dharma, right, to get Yudhishthira to do what he wants. But what's his purpose? Artha, niti, not even artha, which is still higher than niti. He's just trying to affect something. That's all, and he'll use whatever method to get it done. So. That's the point, is that we have to be very, very careful, because being practical, it's practical, but what does it obtain? So it's a practical for social status, a practice for economics, you know, or practical just for me, you know, how you say, whatever I want. So we see is that none of these are actually elevated, because they're all arta or lower. And the method, because we're rejecting God's laws, it's vikarma. It's sinful. We may be connecting it to Krishna, but it's not that there's not reactions. Does that make sense?
Is this why we get caught up in semantics, because we actually don't understand
the actual reality. Because what are the two options as general principles? The mentality of the smarta, which is totally semantics. And then that of the sahajya, which is just all, totally emotions. You understand? But both of them are very, very weak. So when we say the middle path of the razor's edge means it's following the footsteps of the acharyas. You can't say it's the middle path because you're balancing between conservative and liberal and you're all giving a material alternative. No, there's only these two, because the middle path is as wide as a razor's edge. That's how wide it is. And so if you're not on that, you're on one side or the other. You know, you may use the combination to try to mix it up to make it sound good. But the point is it's what the acharyas say. It's accepting God's laws. So therefore, I accept God's laws. That this is the way, this is the nature of a Shudra, therefore if I have that nature, that's how I engage myself. What's the problem? I'm not the body. See, they're using I'm not the body to maintain their social prestige, but the point is, though, I'm not the body. What does it matter? Because those who are going to look at it simply from prestige, what's the importance of such people? Right? It means the souls are valuable to make Krishna conscious, but that perspective is just as useless, right? Let's say we have the dock worker, okay? You know, get into some cliches here. We have the dock worker, and he's proud and this and that. We'll say, oh, this is the uncultured person. What if I take an academic, the professor, the lecturer at the university, and he's proud? Oh, then that's fine. But they're both proud. They both have the same problem. You know what I'm saying? One may be proud of a higher material element, but the point is it's all pride, it's all material. And it's going to keep both of them from being Krishna conscious. Right? So that's the whole thing. And then nowadays, how much is actually on? You know, so we're going to use an atheistic academic view, and that's supposed to be status? We use a Vedic view, then that's not. You know? Or, you know, or we're in charge. You know, I'm the authority, managerial authority, or I got money. Like that. You know, so these are the means. Why would we use these? Like that. Why would we use these? You know, especially if you've come from, your background is counterculture, so you're against these things. And then when you have the opportunity, you situate yourself in the same position that you spent so many years of your life going against. So then, what were you really counterculture? So that means actually, it's because it was sour grapes. You didn't have it, so it's bad. But as soon as you get the opportunity, hey, you take it lock, stock, and barrel. You understand? So even from the material point of view, you're a sellout. You know, so you have to, you know, it means if you want to go into that social thing, then, wow. There's a spot on here, but the spot moves. Does that make sense? So the whole point in here is that the Shudra is not qualified, because if you have someone who has the nature of the Shudra, the mentality of the Shudra, all these different, the skills of the Shudra, like that, they're not qualified to study the Veda, because they won't be able to focus, they won't be able to use it properly, they'll want to adjust everything, because Shudra means it's about themselves. They're the strongest on it's about themselves, right? Brahmins, it's about the Shastra. Kshatriyas, it's about the Shastra, but it has to be practical. None of this just theory stuff. But it still has to be. That's how you can tell the difference. You have managers who it's just practical. They're not Kshatriyas. You know, they'll present themselves that we're making governance here, but they're not, because it's practical, and Shastra doesn't actually matter. In other words, if there's a Shastric way to do things and I don't see how to do it, or it's more difficult, I come up with another plan, that's not Kshatriya. Vaishya has to make money. But at the same time, as piety is there, because where does artha come from? Dharma. So there, much of the time you see the ones that are the most stickly about morality will be vaishyas. Because if there's any break in the social fabric, it means it won't make money. So they want a pious environment because it makes money. Does that make sense? Not necessarily, but they are accepting Shastra. That's why it's in a higher position. But the Shudra, then, it's about themselves without the Shastra. It doesn't matter. That's what defines the Shudra. Now, if they acknowledge and follow something, nice. But generally speaking, we'll see is that they'll follow just because it's a nice social thing. So therefore, on these, you know, maybe a little bit of the pranamoya kind of thing, you know, but as a group together, we'll get more than we will without. Does that make sense? You know, like a guild, okay, we'll get more from that than we will without it. Does this make sense? So, therefore, then the devotee, because they're chanting, then the soul is getting purified, the consciousness. So, and they're acknowledging the importance of doing everything according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So that situates them, technically, on consciousness as a dvija. Does that make sense? And so then from that platform, that's then how they progress in devotional service. But it doesn't mean that their conditioning changes. That stays the same. Does that make sense? Someone was a manager before they became a devotee and good at it. They become a devotee. What service will they do as a devotee? Generally, management. Does that make sense? You know, someone was an artist before. When they join, what do they do? Art. You know, someone who was good at computers, when they join, they do computers. Or someone's an accountant, then they take care. You understand? Because that's what you have. You know, it's like if you have two hands, you use two hands in service. If you only have one hand, you use one hand for the service. You know, if you're like, how do you say it? Baumasura, you have 1,000 hands, then, you know, how much you could do. Can you imagine that guy? He could make the dough, roll the chapatis, cook the chapatis, serve the chapatis. You know, a good chance even be eating the chapatis, right? He could be doing all that at once, so much service. Right? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that what you have is what you use. So that's what we're trying to get here. So Shudra in this case means this. So now Vyasa is making the point, since he's called a Shudra, and here he's getting instructed in the Veda, then that means it's not Shudra meaning by Varna. It means Shudra means at this point he's lamenting. Right? And then he approaches somebody to remove that lamentation. That's the difference. The Shudra laments and is not approaching anybody. So in this case it means one who laments. But here it means he's lamenting and he approaches someone to remove that lamentation. So in that way then, you'll find most individuals who take up Krishna consciousness are coming from this position. Because due to lamentation of the difficulty of the material world, they're approaching the Lord. They're approaching the devotees. So in this way, they're Shudra. But having taken up, then that su goes away. Right? And then they, you know, follow in that footsteps. Yes.
When you say that lamentation comes from strong desire, feeling oneself very unsuccessful, controlling, or
yes,
the Shudra means it's very deep-rooted, all simple.
That's where the taste is.
In the negative. The taste.
Yeah, because the positive, how long is the positive? You get something, how long do you enjoy that happiness of that?
That was my also question when Prabhu was saying about people who can't, they chant and be happy. Some people, they may feel themselves very happy in the material world, and thus they will have problems.
Yes, but then the point is if that's called muda. It says there's only two people who are happy in this world, the Paramahamsa and the fool. So that's the fools. And it's like this. Okay, let's say something really great happens for you. Okay? how many hours can you be really ecstatic and talking to everybody and what do you call it, Facebooking and WhatsApping and, you know, really enjoying the happiness of it. 1 hour. Okay. Now let's say someone really disturbs you and annoys you and makes you upset. How many days can you go on like that? Yeah. You understand? So that's the point, is that the tendency is towards that because if we're in the material world, the mode of ignorance. That's why we say the modicum is passion and ignorance. Right? Because what are the specific duties? What is this and that? That's, the focus isn't on the duties. The Varnashram, the focus is on the duties. So it distracts you from this material lamentation. So that's why it's a superior system. While the modern, it doesn't. You sit around and lament all day, and that's considered perfectly fine. Well, in the Vedic, because you have duties, you would have to be performing your duties. And so that will distract the mind. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is you're trying to keep the mind engaged in something positive. So that's why duties are automatically positive and uplifting. So if we don't accept the Vedic system, then what happens is what are the duties? In a modern system, what are the duties? You know what I'm saying? There's what you think is you should do. You know, if I say yes, you know, the husband should do this, the wife should do that, and all these different things, and in this, what would I consider that? A liberal or a conservative viewpoint? Conservative, right? So then that's also seen as not a good... So then what really are the duties? You know? Yeah. So then it comes... It's just they want a particular experience, but the science how to gain it is not there. And they think that by cutting out these, like duty, is not necessarily itself happy. So if I cut that out, it'll give more time for happiness. But happiness will only be a certain amount, because that's coming from the past. And if I don't perform duties, there'll be no happiness from the future. So that's why things degrade. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And also, when you mentioned the soul influencing the growth of subtle body in this way, for example, the person who couldn't do the sadhana before because of his conditioning, now he can, because the soul desires very strong spiritual desire. Yeah. At the same time, some devotees say that, like astrologers especially, they say, oh, this person has a very light karma and this person has a very heavy karma, so things are very difficult, more difficult. And at the same time, we always say that the soul's influence is more prominent, it's stronger. Some say, well, maybe next life it will be more beneficial for him.
Well, in other words, if Prahlad Maharaj had gone to this particular astrologer you're talking about, then he would have told him, maybe next life you could take up devotional service and be serious about your sadhana, because this life you got some really heavy karma. Right, you know, his father's trying to kill him and all this and that and it's like that, and he's born as a teen. So he wouldn't have made it. Very few people are acharyas would make it from the modern kind of view of how we think it goes.
Yeah, because consciousness is a very, it's something
that's... It's independent.
Yeah.
The chart simply tells you what you have. You know what I'm saying? If I have a kitchen, right? First class kitchen, best ingredients and utensils from wherever it is in the world. You know, best design, you know, sit down with, you know, the top chefs, design this kitchen, lay it out, everything is perfect. Can I define from this what the consciousness will be while cooking? No, not at all. Zero. That has to be fully understood by these astrologers. They can tell what's the conditioning. They can tell you, in this kitchen you have, you know, 5 frying pans, you know, 1 pot for rice and 3 spoons. That they can tell you. But they can't tell you what your consciousness is. Never. Not even on a good day. You know what I'm saying? Now, those who are devotional about it, then they can take indications and this and that and seeing how the person is, and then they can see how they're using that in devotional service or how to use it in devotional service. Then they can give that advice. That's very good. But to say from the chart they can tell everything about you, both, you know, spiritual and material, that is a joke. An absolute joke. Total joke. But because the common person doesn't know, and because the astrologer doesn't know, then both of them in ignorance go on thinking that, you know, something's being said. And so in this way, instead of actually helping people's spiritual life, they actually get in the way of the spiritual life. So in other words, it would have been better, they were, that's what it means, better to be an honest street sweeper than a charlatan, you know, these other things. Even though the person's not doing it to be a charlatan, he's actually just a waste of time. Does that make sense? And then if you beat you, then if you, how you say, make your whole preaching strategy off of this, then you really are have a mess.
Yeah, so. Those of you genuine astrologers, they actually tell that because you're into spiritual life, you cannot predict anything.
They can't tell. They can tell that you, they can see that you have a sign for liberation, but they can't see what's on the other side of that. It's just like this. Let us say I have this room, right? And in these gaps here, there's curtains. I can see that according to the chart, this guy goes out that curtain. Can I tell what's on the other side from in here? No. Like that. So it's only by devotional service you can tell. Now, what devotees, when they are saying, I'm predicting this and that and telling this and that, what it is they're able to see these things in connection to Krishna. It means your devotional service. You like that. So then in using that interpretation and connecting everything, how it could be used for Krishna, that way then they're telling. But it's not because of the astrology, it's because of the Krishna conscious philosophy that they can take it that next step, which is what Apara Avidya is for. Just like Ayurveda, you should take it onto that next step. You should take, you know, logic, you should take Dharma Shastra, everything like that. Because the Dharma Shastra just tells you how to properly engage the natures. But the point is it points out, it's, you know, it's about pleasing the Supreme, knowing the Supreme. What Shastra defines pleasing and knowing the Supreme? Right? The devotional scriptures. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. That's then from that. So if you use the two together, then it works very nicely. But if one thinks that from these I can tell everything, then you're absolutely and totally mistaken.
You're trying to persuade that the growth inside of body would be even stronger than the influence of the soul as well.
Yeah, no, it's the point is that's the, then what's the point? Why do we need materialists to tell us we are the body? We don't need that. I mean, it says already people are doing that, so then why I should pay this guy? It means every other of your relative and friend will tell you that. Why I should pay this guy, and then he's going to tell me that. You know? So that's the point. If I'm doubting that I have to go to an authority to be confirmed that I am this body, then better to go to a devotee and have them take you farther. Because if there's a doubt, that means there's a loosening of the material connection. So then better use it for advantage to go forward in spiritual life. But if someone's simply going to take this looseness to make you, you know, firm and fixed in your materialistic determination, it's kind of like, why do we need such personalities? You know what I'm saying? You know, that's all.
Even devotees who are learning, because I have examples on material astrology. And he said, in this life, you won't take devotional service.
It's kind of like people like this. Why do we need them? You know what I'm saying? There's plenty of islands and remote islands and many archipelagos around the world that these people would do better sitting on, you know? Tell the kimono dragons, you're not taking up, in this life, you're not going to take up devotional service. You know, and then the dragon will sit there looking and flicking his tongue at him, you know, like that. You know, so great. But why would you tell these things to devotees? It says, and then my answer to that person would be, quoting from my mother, it takes one to know one. Since you're a gross materialist, then is that how you understood? Because which planet deals with devotional service? There's 9 planets there. Which one is devotional service? Right? By their thing, none. And then went the fun part of the 9 planets. Who's the devotee? Saturn. How much do astrologers like Saturn? Like basically 0. You know, so what's their chance of being able to interpret devotional service? Nothing. Because they're a devotee and they can see how to engage this in the Lord's service, those astrologers, now they can help you in devotional service. Because they'll show what are your strong points to use in devotion, like you're focusing on a weak point and saying, oh, I'm useless. No, they'll show you a strong point. That's how you should be engaged in devotional service. That's a value. But to think the science itself will get you, that's like saying, you know, just the science of cooking will make you Krishna conscious. No, it's devotional service. Using the science, you can become Krishna conscious. And even if I don't know the science, I'm trying to be Krishna conscious, and I'm not a great cook, I'll still be Krishna conscious. But being a fabulous cook, if I'm and not in touch with devotional service, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, otherwise, then, you know, Jamie Oliver would be a pure devotee. No? Can we try this louder? It's just like tighten the stomach muscles when you talk. It's effort, but you'll find the volume of sound coming out triples.
Yeah. When counselees, they go to their respective counselors, mm-hmm. usually it doesn't come across that. They say that you can continue with your services, but don't think that, you know, the services will go back to water. It is very, very difficult. If you see to it that, you know, devotees, you know, very, very senior devotees, 20 years into the movement, you know, this is the kind of guidance, you know, they give to the Kanishtha.
No, because it's not the service itself that will take you back, it's the devotion in which you render the service.
Yes, but still, the devotion factor is not being encouraged at all.
That's there, but that's just because people tend to see the externals and make everything on the externals. That's the point. So the acharyas warn against that, but at the same time, you can't put too much emphasis on that. Otherwise, the neophyte won't follow any rules. So it's a very delicate balance that is, you have to follow the rules, but it's not about that. You actually have to, it's the devotion in which you do it. That's the important element. So since it's devotion for Krishna and the results are for Krishna, you want the best results. What do best results come from? Best endeavors. What do best endeavors come from? Best knowledge and attitudes. Therefore, that's why we cultivate better, more knowledge and skills and proper attitudes like that, because it gets a better result for Krishna. Otherwise, just because I do it more expertly doesn't mean that itself is going to make devotion. So, in other words, they're trying to explain a higher level of devotional service, but they maybe didn't use enough explanation. You understand? So it's meant to encourage you that do this service, but it's about the devotion. Or you may have the case where someone is attached to a particular service and that's the only thing, that's what they have to do for Krishna. But it's not that's what's going to make them go back to Godhead. It's going to be their devotion. The same thing, the devotion in that. So their attachment to that service may not be so ideal, especially if they're not so good at it, and everybody knows they're not so good at it. So you have to try to point out it's the devotion. So if they focus on the devotion, they'll get purified. Either they'll improve the quality of that service they're doing, or they'll figure out, that's actually not my service, I should do something else. Because, all my friends are big, big managers, why aren't I a manager? But they're not a manager, so they try to manage and stuff like that. I've seen, so this one, I mentioned this before, he was probably within the movement, not within the karmic world, but within the movement, he probably knew the most about cows and how to take care of cows and that. Because he learned from the best karmis on the planet. But because when he came to the movement and he found that nobody cared about the goshala and the cows, therefore, you know, and everybody cared about management, and that's all, the money, the management, the manpower. So he shifted into that. He was great, you know, he was great at doing Vaishya stuff. I mean, really good at it. But management, ooh, wow, he was not good. just made trouble, politics, nothing worked out, this and that. And so then, since that didn't work there and this is not working, he got kind of upset and, you know, went out on his own. Then you meet him, you know, 20 years later, and he's a teacher. Right? And he's doing really well. He's teaching all these kids, you know, and, you know, kind of unfortunate situations, you know, something that you really have to be committed to. It's not just a job. And he's doing really nice. Right? So he has this Brahminical mentality. So, but the science in that, and that he cared about and he learned, was that about cows and agriculture. It was the Vaishya sciences. And he could do them quite well. And he could teach them really well. But what he didn't catch, it wasn't about the Vaishya stuff. It was the teaching that was actually his nature. So when he switched to the Kshatriya, he didn't know the science, and he's not a manager. So that was a total disaster. But then when he got into the... then it worked. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is sometimes people get attached to a service that actually isn't their nature. For whatever reason. In this case, it was a social reason. You know, prestige and these things like that. And so then it didn't work. But as soon as he adjusted to the other, he's satisfied, everybody else is satisfied, it works really well. Does that make sense? So one has to be able to understand what's... So that also could be another reason that approach was used, that the person is overly attached to something they're not supposed to do. It's disturbing everyone, but okay, you're doing this, but don't think that the service itself is just taking you back to Godhead. Devotional service will take you back to Godhead, but the particular activity you're doing is not the one that takes you back to Godhead. Does that make sense? So, a few varieties of ways to, I say, maintain faith and authority. Okay? Yes.
You're in this adhikaran, you're trying to say that Shudras are not qualified. We are saying strength.
Yes, to study the Vedas.
Study the Vedas. Last adhikaran, we discussed about the devatas, how they are qualified for meditation.
Yes.
So, like in this particular part, we are discussing about the different worlds, you know, which relate to Brahman. And what is the reason for having these?
The world.
The words.
The words.
Like, these are the different words. Like,
connected to Brahman.
Yeah. And you're like, this is like going something like, you know, off the track, and it is not.
No, it's a matter of qualification, because we were... what's the connection? We're studying who's qualified.
And who's not.
So the Brahman is qualified, the Devatas are qualified, Shudras are not qualified. Right? Because the argument that this is brought up, because they're using the Vedas, so that means someone studying the Vedas is using this too in this way. Like that. So it's just, since you're there studying qualification, you might as well deal with all qualifications. Yeah. Okay, then Govindabhasya, no? Yeah? Okay. Since devatas and humans have the capacity, they are both qualified to worship Brahman, right? So this is the common point. Right? But this worship is not possible without studying the Vedas. Right? So that humans study the Vedas, demigods study the Vedas, that's why then they can perform this worship. For it is said, Upanishadaha. Upanishadaf Purushaha. The Lord is known through the Upanishads, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 1.1.2. As Shudras are not qualified to study the Vedas, they are qualified... are they qualified to worship the Brahman? This section answers. So in other words, using these technical things, they won't be able to do it. If they are doing it, why are they doing it? So even if they can do it, what's their motive for doing it? And generally you'll see it's for their own personal. It's not for the overall society. Right? So that takes on the wrong nature. Right? So Hiranyakashipu is born as a demon. So being a demon, that is his nature. So him doing demoniac stuff fits. Not good, but hey, it fits. But if a Shudra takes up demoniac nature, it means not fitting into the system, doing others' duties, that's not what he's supposed to do. That's why then there'll be the correction there. Because you see, Hiranyakashipu will also be corrected. Vishaya. In the Chandogya Upanishad, there's the story of Janashruti. Hearing about Rainika from some swans, Janashruti approached Rainika, who was with his horses, offering gold, cows, and horses to Rainika. Janashruti asked him which devata he worshipped. Seeing Janashruti Lanka spoke, Ahaha Hare Tva Shudra Tavaiha Haha Gobir Astu. O Shudra, let your cows, chariots, and necklaces remain with you. In other words, it's we see is that he's not interested in remuneration, right? Because he's giving stuff. Because even if you're going to study, you don't give money and then study. You study and then give a dakshin. Mm-hmm. Right? Though called a Shudra, Janashruti came again. Again came, bringing cows, gold chariots, and young gifts, young girls as gifts. Ranka spoke, Tam ajahare ma shudrane naiva muke nala payishyata. You have brought these gifts, O Shudra, by these you have made me speak. Ranka then taught him some Varga Vidya.
Why, Maharaj? Because he gave for here and even now he's giving.
But the point is he's determined. So there's something. So it's not so much the gifts. It's his determination. Right? Because if he was actually a Shudra, then he would lament. And that'd be it. He wouldn't be able to do anything, and then, you know, the tavern would make more extra money, you know, all that kind of stuff. So he would help the economy, but, you know, he wouldn't further knowledge. Right? Shamshaya, the doubt is this. Is a Shudra qualified for knowledge of the Vedas or not? Kurva Paksha. The Shudra is qualified for Vedic knowledge because, firstly, no distinction is made while stating that humans are qualified. Secondly, it just says humans are qualified. Right? But it also mentions humans meaning those who are following the Varnashram system. So we're taking all, means the human form of life is meant for spiritual life, but only technically when you take up the Varnashram, then it becomes progressive. Right? Mm. We're not talking about the quick path of, you know, just the devotional service that we're going to get to. Mm. So that means those who follow Varnashram, then within those who follow Varnashram, then the Dvijas. But they're going to be focused. But of those who are going to take it the furthest and be the most absorbed, it's going to be the Brahmins. Right? And then we continue from there till you get to the Vaishnavas. Right? Secondly, the Shudra has a capacity for knowledge, right? But it's generally skills, not transcendental knowledge. It means the Shudra does it because these fine, subtle things aren't so much there. If it has a gross form to it, then they can get into the subtle. Right? You know, like music or drama, or they can know all these different subtleties. But they're knowing it from the point of the art, not so much from the science. They just know its effect. They don't know why. You know, it's just like, let's say, by working in the assisting the Ayurvedic doctor for so many years, they know that when these symptoms are there, you give this medicine. But they don't actually know what's causing the disease. You know, they have heard that, okay, there's this symptoms that comes from vata, these things balance vata and that, but he doesn't actually know fully what's going on. That's why he's not the doctor. But he'll be able to pick the medicine, make the medicines, administer the medicines, but what medicines are actually administered, that only the doctor can say. So it's not that they don't learn a lot and cannot sometimes give some ideas or advice to the higher orders, because they're always dealing in the, you know, like I said, is that the salesperson is a Shudra. He's working in the shop. He's selling the stuff. He sees what people ask for. All it is that the Vaishya sees, okay, this has been sold. Okay, we're selling more of these than that. So he'll think, okay, we'll buy more of these. But he doesn't know what people are asking for. That the salesperson knows. So there's some new thing that people have heard about. They're asking about it. That the Vaishya doesn't know. So he knows. So he says, oh yes, this is selling, people like that, but they're asking about this. Yeah, and then, you know, why aren't you selling these things? No one's interested. I've showed them to him. No one wants. So then he'll give that. And then Vaishya, because he knows business now, and he knows how to get. Now he'll go out, won't buy any more of the thing that's not selling, buy some of the thing that is selling, but he'll start to bring in stuff from what people are asking about. And so as that adjusts and this and that, you know, and then no one's buying this one, then it's, you know, I say, buy two, get one free. So which is the one you get free? The one nobody buys, right? You know, so they know how to, you know. like that. So you can say, as nobody's losing money, he's giving for free. No, they bought two. He's already losing money as sitting there. And some know, if you have the really old established things, doesn't matter. It can sit there. After 20 years, 40 years, it'll come back in fashion. People will buy it. Yeah, I've seen that in shops. You go in and all that, and you ask about something. You like that, and they'll bring it out. And it's been sitting there for 40 years. The grandfather bought it. Yeah, it's like that. So it's, you know, and they'll say it's like this. And then, depending on those days, they would actually sell it for cheap because it didn't cost them. They just want to make back their money. Mm. Nowadays, then it's, you know, that's you know, special. It's antique. You know, that'll be 10 times the price. You know, so. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that he knows how to do that, but the salesman knows. So the shudra can give advice to them in the way of the arts and sciences, but how they should be applied, what's the overall picture, that the shudra generally does, that's not his area. If it is, then he'd be a Brahmin. You know? So that's the whole point. Does that make sense? Thirdly, the text mentions the word shudra, and he was taught the Vedas, right? So it says shudra. And fourthly, the Puranas tell us that Vidura and others who were shudras had knowledge of Brahman. Siddhanta, shugasya tad anadhara shravanat tada dravanat suchyate hi. The shudra is not qualified to study the Vedas because in the story, Janashruti is called a shudra only because he was grief-stricken, shu, by the swan's disrespectful words, and then approached dra, rainaka, rainka. Where did he get that? Rainaka. Rainaka. Oh, I'm getting it from raivata. Okay. The word na should be understood from a previous sutra. The shudra is not qualified to study the Vedas. Why? Because Janashruti, ignorant of Brahman, heard the disrespectful words of the swans. Can this person be compared to Ranka with his horses? In grief, Shuk, he went Dravati to Ranka, who had knowledge of Brahman. Because Janashruti was filled with grief at the swan's words and went to Ranka, he was called a shudra by Ranka, even though he was not a shudra. Just like Prabhupada sometimes would say, the disciples are acting like a shudra. You're acting like a shudra. Not that he is a shudra, you're acting like one. It means that you're seeing things from this mundane point and lamenting when you should try to be seeing it from shastra in a higher position. Because Ranka knew of his condition by his omniscience, he is not called shudra due to being born in the fourth varna. Right? He's just by his mentality how he was affected. Bhagavatam verse reference. Does that make sense? So, therefore, you can study on that. But to study the Veda itself, that then generally they don't. They don't use that and stuff like that. That's why then for us, Bhagavad Gita is what's approachable. Like that. So he's a higher order, then he's studying it. So everybody can study the Vedic, the Brahman, but you have to know which one you're studying. So basically speaking, someone with a shudra mentality wouldn't be interested in the Upanishadic presentation, the Vedantic presentation, but in the Smriti presentation of Bhagavad Gita, that they could have, be happy with. Right? And even then, it's only by the grace of Guru. Bhagavatam verse reference 1.4.25. Out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled a great historical narration called the Mahabharata for women, laborers, and friends of the twice born. Footnote 42. Srila Prabhupada's comment on this verse answers all doubts presented here in Vedanta Sutra. The friends of the twice-born families are those who are born in the families of Brahmana, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, or the spiritually cultured families, but who themselves are not equal to their forefathers. Such descendants are not recognized as such for want of purificatory achievements. Right? Means the parents may take them through all their purificatory rites, but there's no purificatory achievements. Right? Means someone has no samskaras, then automatically one's considered a shudra. Because dvija means purified. Right? So, if the parents don't do the samskaras, then technically, then one is unpurified, so that's shudra. even if the parents have done the samskaras, but if you have not applied them to achieve a higher state of purification, then one's called a dvijabandhu. Right? In the other words, you can hang out with them, you can do it, but you can't do what they do. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone's born in a very wealthy aristocratic family, you know, high social standard. Now, because of growing up there, he can go to the programs, he knows how to sit there and be quiet, he can move around, talk to everybody, shake their hands, do all that. But he can't make he can't do business, he can't do administration, he can't do those things that they're all doing with those. So he knows the social thing. So that's why he's a dvijabandhu. You don't just say he's just a shudra. He's a dvijabandhu as a shudra. Right? Does that make sense? Because he doesn't have, because he's not, there are no achievements. Right? He's gotten all the opportunities and the association, but he's not using it. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the problem. Yes?
So basically, to determine who is which nirvana can be, to some extent, determined by achievements.
Yes, by achievements. You see the achievements, but you also see the mood in which those achievements are there. Why are they gaining those achievements? You know, just like, let's say, you have a Kshatriya and a Vaishya. Now you have, you know, a very just Kshatriya. And you have really high-end Vaishya. So, both of them have land. Right? The Kshatriya has a very small kingdom. And the Vaishya has, you know, as far as a landholder goes, a lot of land. And so within both of these, there's many villages. And so from these villages, then they're both taking tax. You know, one is the king and one is the zamindar, the landholder. Now, so by achievements you would see is they have land, they're maintaining the land, they all that. They both have their, you know, police force, they're all, you know, maintaining, you know, law and order and everything. So in one sense you would take by achievement that they're both, that would, there would be Kshatriya. But now the Kshatriya is taking tax so that he can protect the people. The Vaishya is protecting the people so he can get the tax. So in that way, then you can tell who's who. But as far as it looks, it's very, very close. You know?
Still, you cannot finesse achievements, right?
No, no, no.
It should be there.
Yeah, you, yes, achievement should be there.
To finesse actual achievements.
Yes, no, that has to be there. So you're seeing is what's the training, how they're using the training, what they're gaining. So even if they have little training but they're getting great results, then that means, you know, that just that mentality is very strong. They can work it out. You know, like you have these kids in a garage work out these, you know, billion-dollar businesses and stuff like that. That means they have that ability. But who's trained them, right? Or minimal training, or they've seen a few people or something inspires them. So they really have that nature like that. So then that's what you're looking for, is that it's the achievements that you know. How do you know someone's a Brahmin? Because he does brahminical things. How is he a Kshatriya? Because he does. Like Arjuna, he's known for his achievements. Or Bhima, he's known for his achievements. You know? Or, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj, the achievements, so it's even more the qualities. It means Arjuna and Bhima, that, you know, you take, you know, he's very valiant, you know, very, you know, chivalrous, and he's, you know, like that. So Arjuna's like that. But like Bhishma, he has that, but it's his power, his strength and everything like that, and his that kind of, the aggressive side of chivalry, you know, like that. Well, Yudhishthira, then it'll be that very, you know, gentle and like that kind of aspect. But, you know, he's running the kingdom. It never says he was having problem or he ever complained that, you know, oh, I just like to be absorbed in, you know, this study of the Shastras. Why do I have to manage this kingdom? You never hear him say that. So he's doing all the things, all the politics, everything perfectly, but he maintains his. So you see by that. Well, like the twins, they're known for their various Vedic knowledge and skills and things like that. They're known for that kind of side. So achievements with the mood. Because otherwise, let's say you have a businessman, he's a good businessman, makes tons of money, but his attitude really, really is rough. No one likes him. They'll acknowledge he's a businessman, but they won't count him as what they would call a proper businessman. You know, their ideal of a businessman is not him. But at the same time, he's making more money than them and this and that, so who can say anything? Well, if he was making less, they'd see if he has changed his attitude, he'd make more money. But on this guy, they're just quiet because it's not ideal. Yeah. So that's why guna and karma, the two together. Because otherwise, that's why it says you shouldn't do someone else's duty, because you may do their duty well, but because the mentality's wrong, it'll disturb. You know, like I was saying before, this guy's not a manager. And so he disturbs everybody. Right? But as soon as he's situated in his teaching, then it's everything's balanced.
Same classic story with Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita. He tried to, in the beginning, you know...
Yes, be the big Brahmin. Yes. So, much of the time, accomplishment is not... Yes, if you wanted to use this in a contemporary kind of an, you know, environment, then you would say someone who can actually affect all the things they talk about in a meeting is a administrator or a leader, manager. Not someone who can talk big and use all, you know, how you say, used to be modern terms. Like that, you know, like that. So... The whole point is that they're good at talking, they're good at politics, that's not, it's accomplishment. So if you're saying it's accomplishment, yes, how he politically pulled that off and got what he wanted done, you could say yes, he's a good politician. But by the accomplishments, he's not a leader, he's not a manager.
In these two terms, accomplishment and leader. Is there like on the same hierarchy level, or one is secondary, another one primary?
The mood is actually more. The guna is more important than the karma, because let's say I give the example. There's that just some, you know, some months back there was a wedding here in the old Gurukul area, and then at one time they had kind of sitting on the side a bunch of guys with shanais, right? Now one guy is doing all the fancy playing, and the other guy in the shanai thing, one guy's just making a single note, and now and again does a little bit of but basically makes the single note. So now, we'll say that whole group is musicians. So by guna, they're all musicians. But by karma, the one guy's the lead, and the other guy can only do drone. But you can say, as well, anybody could do the drone. Yes, anybody could do the drone. It takes you, you know, a few minutes to learn how to make the sound and hold the sound. You know, and then some practice, you become good at it. So, you know, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and you're good. But who could sit there and do that for hours? Only a musician, right? Anybody could learn it as an art, but for it to actually be an occupation, then that's then where they're, you know, does that make sense? So the mentality of the musician is actually what makes the musician. Then you'll find, like you find people are really into music but aren't that good of musicians. Like I hear it many times said in the classical world, he's a good teacher, but not necessarily such a good player. Or he's a good player, he's not a good teacher. So that means the one who's a good player, you know, means he is a musician. And while the other one, his area of knowledge is music. So, and you would say, well, if he's not a good player, how can he teach? Because he knows the science really well. He knows what's good and what's it. He can't do it himself. Because he can put in time, he could sit all day and teach students, you know, 12 hours a day. He wouldn't be able to sit and practice 12 hours a day. But the person he's teaching might be able to sit and practice 12 hours a day, so he'll be a better player. You know, and in rare cases, you'll have the person who is a good teacher and a good player. That just means that's the topmost kind of brahminical. Like, does that make sense? Yeah.
what there are divisions, even if Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra, being the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, Brahmana, Shudra. So there is always mix where the consciousness goes and different kind of external manifestations can go with it.
Yes. But then you also have, that's just the area, just like with the Brahman, the Vedas are 14 books of knowledge. So now your highest is going to be the Brahman who's teaching Vedanta. And he's just studying and teaching, right? But he may be studying and teaching any other branch, or he may be even practicing those branches. But he's doing it as a Brahman, like that. So that's the, you know, he lives the lifestyle, everything. Like a lot of times the South Indian teachers of classical music, they're Brahmins. Like that. You go to them, but you know, you have to come after a certain time because they're doing the puja, and you go to their house, it's set up like a Brahmin, they dress like a Brahmin, everything's like a Brahmin, they do their pujas, they do everything like that. But their occupation is teaching music because they know the science of music. You know, and they'll generally be okay, or quite decent. Like that, some of them quite good. Like that, but so it's that area is there. But now you might have, you know, Shankara, where one parent was a musician and the other was a Brahmin. That'll be a different kind of thing. So they'll have kind of those both things. But that one will be more of a difficulty because it's not clear the lifestyle and clear the occupation. So they get confused. You know, I can't figure out who I am. Am I this? Am I that? You know, that kind of thing. That's because of Shankara. But if they're clear, I'm this, but we study this. You know, another Brahmins, they teach astrology. Someone else does pujas. Someone else does, you know, teaches Sanskrit. So it's just one of the areas. And then you'll see Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, that they have what they do, but all these arts, they may know it as part of culture. So you have a Kshatriya who's very good at music, but it's not an occupation. But let's say he had to go incognito, he could go incognito as a musician. You know, and that way then, you know, get in the palace of the enemy, play the music, you know, see who's who and all that, then go back, you know, like that. So, you know, it has its methods. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.